Good afternoon. My name is Kathy McShane, and I am the pastor here at Campbell United Methodist Church. And I welcome you to this moment in which we share together a celebration of the life of George Cleveland. And we mourn together the end of his life on earth. It is part of your work, you who have known and loved George, to be witnesses to his life and to his death. We all stand here today as sort of a procession that George travels through as he moves from one phase of his life here on earth into the next, as he continues to live in the promise of eternal life. But this is also a day simply to share our sadness. We were not ready to lose George. We did not see this coming. We will, even in the midst of our sadness, look up and worship God, because there is a word of grace for even moments like this one. A word of grace that we are particularly conscious of in this season of anticipating Easter. And that word is this: that the God of the universe has promised that death and sorrow and sadness are never, never the last word about life. That there is for George life. Life abundant and life eternal, that stretches far beyond the life we have shared, the life we know anything about. This will be a service full of music, because George loved the music of this church. George was instrumental in bringing here the unusually sophisticated pipe organ that graces this sanctuary. He was intentional about making sure that this church could maintain the organ and honor the music that it allows here. George also loved the big band music that you heard playing a few moments ago. That too was a joy that he and Carol shared together. That too was part of the beauty of life for him. And we share that beauty with him today. And so, in sadness and in gratitude for George's life, for the privilege of knowing this good man, for our confidence that the most essential part of George's life continues in God and in what we carry with us, we gather today to worship, to give thanks, and to remember. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join me in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. We have come together within the strengthening presence of family and friends to praise God for the life of George Cleveland, to share our sorrow with God and with one another, to reaffirm our faith in God's unfailing goodness, and to hear again God's promise of resurrection, and to commit George to God's everlasting care. And I invite you, as you remain standing, if you would like to speak alongside of me the words of the 23rd Psalm, as many of them as you know. Often, we don't even know that we know these words, but they are buried deep inside of us for just such moments as this one. And so just to speak them out loud brings us comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So be it. Now, as you continue to stand, I would invite you to open the red hymnal in front of you and to sing together. Verses 1, 3, and 4 of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Please be seated. We enter a time of sharing memories of George together. There are some people who will speak from the podium here, but I would invite you as you listen to them to think about if you have a short story or a memory or an image of George that you would like to share also in this service. There will be an opportunity to do so. First, we welcome George's son, John.
I promise it's only one page. First off, I'd like to say, wow, thank you all for attending. This is really, really special. Whether you knew George as George, Dad, grandfather, friend, we all knew him our own different ways and we all have our own memories. I'd like to thank Pacific Swimming for one, my dad was passionate about what he did with you folks and it kept him active, it kept him sharp, it kept him healthy. I'd like to thank the United Methodist Church for some of the same reasons, and that he really loved this church. I can honestly say, when I was little, everything did look bigger. It looks smaller now that I'm grown up. So what they say is true, but again, thank you to the church. Again, the organ, he was particularly passionate about this organ. I remember him scoping out every organ in the valley here to try and determine which one was the best one and who had the best design for the church here. So it's fantastic to see it and even better to hear it. I'd like to say a few words, not so much a memory, but kind of a story. My dad, many of you probably knew, is a World War II veteran. And if you live around here or the East Bay, you probably see the B-17s, the B-29s flying about, you know, usually around the Memorial Day timeframe. So I thought, hey, you know what? What better idea than to take my dad up in the B-17? So after a few years of procrastinating, a few years of scoping it out, checking it out, we finally did it last May. And I think the one thing I want to say about that is that I am so glad I did. I'm so glad I didn't wait, because life is finite. Life is awesome. And you got to do those things when you want to do them versus, you know, waiting and maybe not getting the chance to do it. So I just say to, you know, my grandkids, don't wait. All of you that are out there, if you've got friends and families, you know, if you have these kind of ideas, don't wait, do it, and don't ever look back and regret. I know that will be one of the fondest memories I have of myself and my dad. So for his family, he left too soon, but he'll live on in our memories. But for him, he's in a new beginning. It's all as good. Thank you.
Perhaps you know that one of the causes that George was passionate about was housing, particularly for senior citizens in this community, affordable housing. And he spent many, many hours working for the board of the Santa Clara United or Methodist Retirement Foundation. Joe Campbell was a colleague of George for many years on this board and is currently the chair of that board, and I invite Joe to come and share some memories.
Thank you, Kathy, to John's children. I think that's a hint he wants to fly in a B-17 again. But anyway, again, my name's Joe Campbell, and I'm here to share about George and his work in an area of the church outreach that many of you may not know or really have a knowledge of the extent of his giving of time, coin, knowledge, and experience. In our work of giving back, I sometimes call them dark jewels, and George was one of those. They tend to hide in the back of a room. You know, they just do things, but when you turn around and shine a light on them, they just explode with that reflection of light. So I'm going to ask you to just sit, think about George. What I'm going to share with his respect to the Santa Clara Methodist Retirement Foundation. As Reverend Kathy said, I'm currently the president of the Santa Clara Retirement Foundation. We recently celebrated our 50th anniversary, and that tall building that's standing right behind me is one of the assets of that foundation, which, interesting, most people don't know about. The mission of that foundation is to provide innovative, affordable housing and services to low-income seniors in Santa Clara County, so people in this community can live their entire lives with safety, dignity, and respect. George helped craft that mission statement, and he also helped craft our vision statement that we just went through with our board. He's been a part of that mission for, and I'll say it, many, 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 many years. That building behind me is called Wesley Manor. There's another one that's called Liberty Tower that's part of our assets. And both the Santa Clara Church and the Campbell United Methodist Church were instrumental in the formation, construction, and management of those two facilities. One person who's had a very, 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 very long tenure on that board was George. If you ask me exactly how many years, I'll give you different answers. How many years was he the president of that board? How many years was he the chairman of that board? Vice president, member of different committees, chairing committees, and then all the years when he wasn't a member of the board that he was giving back to the foundation and helping on committees and other activities. More years than I have fingers and toes to count. In my book, when you get past fingers and toes, it either means you're enjoying something that you're doing with good works, or you're doing something that's illegal and fun. And I'll let you figure out for George which one that was. My first crossing with George, believe it or not, was when I was in my 20s, and I'll leave it at that. Reverend Corson remembers that when I was on the board in my early 20s. But I want to paint a picture of George from the Retirement Foundation perspective. I'm sure you can probably take what I'm going to say and paint it with many of the other endeavors that he's been involved with. But if you look at it, we're here to celebrate George, internalize George, remember George, and come to terms with that loss of George. As mentioned, George, as we know him, is gone, but I can tell you that more than 1,000 plus seniors who probably never met George, knew of George, or probably even cared who George was, were impacted by him over the years through his service and work with that retirement foundation. Today, we're providing income low senior housing for over 300 people. But if you put that over the many years that George was involved with that foundation, he ended up touching over 1,000 plus people. If you look at it, that touch was very deep. It was providing one of the basic needs that the person needs, shelter. Pretty much before shelter, it's just food and water. But if you provide for that solid foundation, the extra things in life become easier to obtain and appreciate. And George saw that as one of his visions and one of his desires in this world. On a humorous note or a harsh note, and I'll say it depends upon which end of the note you were on with George, because he was a straight shooter, direct but caring, but many times to the point. Few words, but many times the right words. I say in my crossing with George, it was across our church here, the Retirement Foundation, also touching and swimming, and just plain interesting things. Interesting and unique conversations with George over the years. I say we can remember people by what they say. Will Rogers, Ernest Hemingway, John Kennedy, Neil Armstrong. Now, I'm not putting George in the class of those people, but I want you to think about things that people say. With George over the years, these were words that always made me tremble. You can put your name here. Joe, are you sure you want to do that? It's usually followed by a very long pause. Then he would cock his forehead or his eyebrow. He'd either look away or walk away. 9 words that I'm sure that most people in this room did not want to hear, but many times heard it from George. But it was a wisdom that he was willing to share. He brought this to many, many meetings with our foundation. Some were intimidating for those of you who have been on the board. Some were very compassionate with respect to our meetings. Some in the vein of, another quote from George, "You have got to be kidding me you ever thought of saying that at this meeting." But that one passion on the board for George was he championed our efforts to expand the number of places that we could actually house seniors. He led our efforts for many years to acquire land, partners, and just overall grow our services. He spent many, many, many hours in this area, both on the board, off the board, whilst doing this with his responsibilities to his family and other areas of passion. George was recognized as a patron of our foundation with his gifts of coin, and over the years recognized with his gift of time and knowledge. I'm going to conclude with 2 quotes. "Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth," Muhammad Ali. "It is so much darker when a light goes out than it would have been if the light had never shone," John Steinbeck. By these measures, in my book, George had to have had one very, very, very large and bright room when he lived here with us. Thank you.
You may know that George loved to walk, and he walked every day, sometimes by himself, but often with a group that walked every Friday morning. And so Susan Sargent walked many miles with George. Come, Susan.
Yes, yes. I am Susan, and George was a friend of mine. He was in our walking group, as we heard, and he was our most consistent walker. He was our anchor, and he was our leadoff man. It was back in November of 2010, I organized a walking group open to all to meet at the track of Campbell Community Center at 10:45 or later to walk the track and then go to lunch in Campbell. The publicity stated, if there is enough interest, the group will continue as a self-paced, self-guided group into 2011. And it did continue. Our name became TLC, Trekking to Lunch in Campbell. Yes, and a key became our restaurant of choice. I have a poster that shows the bottom half of George. George is the second from the right. in dark blue walking shorts, black belt, blue socks, and white, very white athletic shoes. And it looks like it was a warm, sunny day. And it said, come walk with us. If George was in town on Friday, he would come to the track and walk. And he regularly walked in his neighborhood, as you heard, on other days. And as we walked, we talked. Our conversations covered a variety of topics. We had common interests, especially this church and activities here. George was involved in the endowment committee and the Van Sickle Community Fund here and the senior singles group. He attended meetings of the official board and religiously came to the Sunday morning worship service. George had a really good memory for the good old days. And he often talked about the places that he and Carol had lived, vacations they took with the family, and experiences they'd had like driving in the snow, and the churches they attended back there. He also kept up with current events. He had a variety of interests. I asked him once if he followed sports, and he filled me in on the latest Warriors game and some football news. And there was the guy I talked to, because we have guys who walk with us, cars, home repairs, his work at GE, and just day-to-day stuff. And then there were swim meets. You'll probably hear more about the swim meets. He officiated at a lot of swim meets. I mean, a lot of swim meets. He traveled all over the Bay Area and was familiar with the high schools, UC Santa Cruz, and the Santa Clara Swim Center, places I had visited too. When my grandson was swimming with the Westmont swim team, George and I discussed the ins and outs of judging flip turns and proper strokes. During the last Summer Olympics, George told us about the swimmers he knew or had seen in the current Olympics and in previous years, and they were names that we recognized. As I said, George was our leadoff man. He would arrive at 10:45 and stop at 11:45. The rest of us tended to wander to the track sooner or later, but always by 11:45, lunchtime, to a key. Lately, George's favorite was the crab cake and root beer. Russ and George took turns getting refills on each other's drinks. The day after we lost George, Doris and I and Russ walked a memorial lap before lunch. We decided to continue our little group, which has morphed into a lunch group that meets at the track and walks a little. Yeah. And we welcome new participants. Oh, but we will always remember our good friend, George. Thank you.
George lived fully until the moment he died. And we have one more speaker from this podium this afternoon who will tell us about a new project that George took on just in the last months as a picture of his life. Come, Bob Renfer.
Well, George was active, we all know that. As I prepared, sitting at my computer, I thought about some of the words that I use when I think of George. Friendly, interested, inquiring, analytical, helpful, supportive. These are just some of the thoughts that come to mind as I think of the time that George and I have worked together and volunteered. I also spent many years on the board and committees at the Retirement Foundation. But here at Campbell Methodist, in early 2016, the Church Council authorized a task force to see if solar power would be feasible for Campbell Methodist Church. George was the first person to volunteer to work on this project. He recognized both the economic potential and the impact on the climate for the people who follow us. Now, when George said, I'd like to work on this project, that is exactly what he meant. He didn't sign up to get his name on a list. He signed up to work, and he did. When the task force had Saturday meetings at area churches with solar power, George was there every time. He was asking questions, trying to make sure that we all understood the pluses and minuses, the cost benefits, the benefits to the people who come after us. When the task force met to review these experiences and to interview potential contractors and then select a contractor, George was there at every step, not to watch what was happening, but to help shape what was going to happen. He applied the same diligence to the question, what is the best way to finance this project? His careful review of data and proposals, his advice and counsel, together with that of the other six members of the task force, have helped bring this church to the point where solar power will be installed this summer. George's dream of economic benefit to the church and help for the climate will be realized in 2017. And yes, George knew that the goal would be reached this year, when in early February we were able to announce that agreements had been reached with a contractor to install solar and a company to finance the project. We're thankful and deeply grateful for his many contributions to the work of the Solar Task Force and for his dedicated support to the work of the Campbell United Methodist Church.
We are painting a picture of this man who had many pieces of his life, and we've heard about some of them. There are other parts of George's life that we've not yet heard very much about, and pieces that you may have specific stories or memories to share. So I have this microphone available. If you will just raise your hand, I will bring it to you. Just tell us who you are and share your story. And I just want to say one thing. Every story you share is a gift to George's children and grandchildren. Sometimes people hesitate because they think it will make a family sadder. No, in fact, it's the richness of the memories they carry with them and the details that you provide that are the gifts to them in this moment. So please do feel free to share your memories.
My name is Clint Benton. I knew George through Pacific Swimming. Knew George probably from about 1984 on. George was an integral part of Pacific Swimming in many ways. He served on the board. He served on committees, as has been stated earlier. He attended swim meets. He was always available. He refereed at swim meets. As a referee, I can tell you one thing. George knew the rules, and George applied the rules. There was never any question about that. So he could come across as friendly, or he could come across as extremely firm. But he was both, okay? I specifically remember George because he was sort of a mentor to me. As I started to come up through Pacific Swimming, George was a general chair, and we would go to the National Swimming Convention each year. And one of the unique things about swimming at that time is Pacific Swimming always had a suite for the members of Pacific Swimming that would attend. And this particular suite was always occupied by the general chairman and generally one other person that would share the suite, and then everybody would congregate at this suite. It was always the general chair's responsibility to provide whatever food and snacks were there. Over the years, George acquired the responsibility of providing the staple that we needed every evening. That was wine, okay? And it came to be that Pacific Swimming Suite became the place to be by everybody else. So everybody in Western Zone came to know the Pacific Swimming Suite because that's where we had the Napa Valley wine, okay? And George was responsible for seeing that it came to be. And when I became general chair, we continued that tradition, and he and I shared the suite. So he was always there, and he, even though he actively pursued and was actively involved in the high school swimming, believe me, he was involved all the way to the national swimming level. And when he said he knew those swimmers, he did. He's going to be greatly missed by Pacific Swimming.
Mike Picardo, Pacific Swimming. I wanted to add one story about this beautiful pipe organ here. I love pipe organ music. I have since I was in college. I went to Santa Clara University, and a friend of mine sings in a choral group, and they hold their concerts in this church. And I've carpooled with George to a lot of swim meets at UC Santa Cruz, to the Pacific Swimming Board meetings in San Ramon, and especially going to San Ramon in the commute direction. It takes us about an hour and a half minimum to get there. So you start talking about a lot of things. And one day I said, George, you know, I was at this concert at a church in San Jose, this Methodist church, and they have just this beautiful pipe organ. And I've only been in two churches in all of San Jose that actually one church and one other place that have an organ this magnificent. One was at Emmanuel Lutheran by San Jose City College. And the other one is at Santa Clara University, where I went to college. And it's just a magnificent instrument. He said, well, what's the name of the church in San Jose? You said it's a Methodist church. I said, well, I don't remember the exact name, but I know the location because we go to concerts there. It's near the intersection of Hamilton Ave and Winchester. And he says, okay, that's where my church is. And by the way, I was involved in the committee for selecting this organ. And you said you went to school at Santa Clara. We hired a person from Santa Clara University to help us select the organ. And I said, don't say another word, George. Let me ask you. I'm going to take a guess at who the person was that helped you. He said, is his name Dr. Roger Nyquist? And he says, yeah, that's the person. How did you know? I said, well, Roger Nyquist was the head of the Santa Clara Music Department when I was going to school there. And I ran the music lab for him for one entire year at Santa Clara University. And my wife and I, Marie here, went to a number of his concerts at the university playing the pipe organ there. And I've always admired this instrument every time we come here for the Bay Choral Guild concerts. Magnificent instrument. It was nice to hear it today.
Some of you may know me from swimming as an official. I knew George for almost 15 years. Actually, that was probably a small fraction of time considering some of the officials that I see out here in the audience. But my perspective of George, not standing on the deck next to him as a starter or a ref, but also as a swimmer. I had been swimming all my life, and probably I had 500, 700 heats under my belt all the way through masters, but I was only disqualified twice in my life, once in high school, and the second time was at a short course meters meet. I did a pretty good 400 meter swim. I got out, was happy with my time. Here comes George walking over with a smile and a DQ slip. Carrie, you false started. No matter how I argued, it was a great start, George. As you know, George, he sticks to the rules. And that became a running joke for years and years and years. And in fact, every time I'd swim in a master's meet and I knew he was up there starting or reffing, I'd walk over and say, "George, you have a chance to DQ me again." Thank you.
My name is Connie. I'm with Honor Flight Bay Area. We take World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials. There are a few of us here representing Honor Flight. And I just want you to know that George was scheduled to go with us in 2 weeks on our April trip. And we're so sorry that he didn't get to go. But we will carry him with us in our hearts, and we want to honor his service as a World War II veteran.
My name's Dick Sheehan. George and I served a lot of time at the Senior Retirement Committee and on the Endowment Committee. And the one thing I want to recommend, George was really ran a great meeting. I mean, you started on time and you got cut off if you were rambling, and you got so that's my 2 cents worth. George was a great guy.
Thank you, Dick.
Hi, my name is Pamela. I served on the solar panel committee with George, and I always enjoyed him in the meetings. He really had a good twinkle in his eye and a good sense of humor. And it was at one of these meetings I found out he used to work at GE. And I said, "My dad used to work GE." So it turned out he knew my dad through the retirement committee. My dad wasn't able to be here today, but I can tell you the one thing my dad really enjoyed about George was the retirement lunches that he pulled together every year for the GE retirees. And in theory, with the wine suite, he always scheduled these at a winery and would bring the togos. And my dad, I think he's a little worried that this might be the end of the luncheons, because George managed the retirement list, the distribution list, but we'll see what happens. But George was a great guy, and he will surely be missed.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I worked with George on a couple of committees here. But the thing that I remember about George is, we have a little problem in this church. There's another George Cleveland here, who was also married to an Ann Cleveland, or Carol Cleveland. And so I don't know who's who. George said, "It's easy. He's George W. Cleveland, I'm George M. Cleveland." Well, thanks, George, that's not very helpful. He said, "The easy way to remember it is George Mild Cleveland was the other guy. He was George Wild Cleveland."
Everyone in this church knows that, George Wild Cleveland.
Thank you. My name is Joe Wu. I just want to add a little bit on the false start. Just want to tell you how good George is. I knew George, I guess, a little bit after Clint, because I'm just a little bit younger than him, just a few years. He was always my mentor. He mentored me on almost everything, including like Clint. He was a general chair, George was, and I was one of them, so he's the one that could give me all the help that I needed to run such a big organization. But the one that one thing that kind of burned into my mind about George is when I first started learning how to do officiating, starting, and refereeing on the deck. George was maybe one of the very few handful of people that could do a recall like within half a second. I don't know, you know, when it's swimming on the old time, you do a recall when you see a false start. And he did it every time when a swimmer is still right on the air before they got in the water. Because once they got in the water, they can't hear you, so they'll keep going. But George was so fast. I was so impressed. It took me many years to perfect that. And guess what? That's a lost art. They don't do a recall anymore. So you guys were the younger one will never see that kind of a, I don't know, skills that we don't see too many these days. So so one other thing, George is, of course I say he mentored me everything. The only thing he couldn't mentor me is his golf game.
My name is Terry Johnson, and George and I worked on the endowment committee together. He had a passion about the organ, but he also had a personal passion about this church, and he wanted to make sure that this church survived and did extremely well over the years, and he helped to build the endowment fund to where it is today. I was chair of the endowment committee for a number of years, and George was on the committee, and who better could take my place than George?
Thank you, Terry.
Hi, I'm Gary Arita. I've known George 7 years, I think, 7 to 10, been officiating. He was a mentor to everyone. I think he's held every position in Pacific Swimming, in our zone. He's done high school meets, college meets, every meet possible. Today we have far west, we have a lot of officials that you may see that are dressed in whites and blues and some that aren't, but there would be a lot more. But presently we have the Far Westerns running in Pleasanton. Right now, they're probably holding a moment of silence for George this minute. There's about 50 officials there and a lot of coaches that wish they could come. So, in honor of George. So, thank you.
Thank you, Gary. I'm going to invite you to continue to tell these stories in the reception that will follow this service over in the fellowship hall. That's what that time is for, as are the next days and weeks as you continue to think about this man we will all miss. And now we get to hear a little bit more on this pipe organ that George brought to this church, helped to bring to this church.
Thank you.
It is one of the blessings of this church to have an organist whose gifts match the instrument that she gets, that she plays on. Thank you, Shine. Will you pray with me? We give back to you, O God, this one whom you gave to us. You did not lose George when you gave him to us, and we do not lose him as he returns now to you. We believe, in our best moments we believe, that life is eternal, that love cannot die, that death is only a horizon, the limit of our sight. Open our eyes to see more clearly, to trust more deeply in your promise that life stretches beyond what we have known, to joy we have not yet imagined. For all that George gave to his family and to the world, we give you thanks. For the good counsel and faithful stewardship he offered his church. For George's commitment that helped generations of young people use their gifts and their bodies to learn lessons of character and persistence in swimming pools. For the hundreds of people in this community who have affordable housing because of the tirelessness of George's work with the Retirement Foundation. For the friendship of those who gathered every month, who enjoyed each other because of George's willingness to pick up number 16 sandwiches at Togo's. For Karen and Joan and John and their families, who carry George and Carol's life inside of them. Now we offer George back into your arms. Comfort these who have loved him. Strengthen them in their weakness. Give them courage to face the future unafraid. Let the loss of this one draw all of us who remain in this life closer to one another. We trust your assurance that ear has not heard, nor eye seen, nor human imagination envisioned what you have prepared for those who love you. Help us to rest in that trust, we pray. In the name and with the words of the one who has gone before us into death and into life after death, the prayer Jesus taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The wisdom writer who gave us the book of Ecclesiastes in the Hebrew scriptures wrote, For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. I love the sound of those words, the poetry of those verses. And yet there have been moments in my life, and I would guess in all of our lives, when we've wondered what words like that mean, whether they can possibly be true. What about that time thing? Does everything happen at the right time? What comes next after our bodies stop wearing watches? Is it possible that death is just the next time in a longer eternity? Could there be something better for George than the life he had here on this earth, with a family and a community he loved, with good and positive and purposeful work to do, with people who cared for him and respected him? It's hard for us to imagine. This life is the only life we know. It's the life we know how to love. It's the only life we have seen. But we are people of faith. Faith that is the conviction of things we cannot see. And so we believe, even when we cannot see it, that healing and wholeness may not always come in this lifetime, but they will come. They will come in the hands and at the time of a God who is not limited by our watches or clocks. A God that we cannot yet see, but whom we know by the traces of his goodness that we have walked through, lived through. This is the God who was with George in 62 years of marriage to his beloved Carol, who gave George the strength and the patience and love to care for her through some long and hard days, who gave George courage to turn down career advancement for love of family and place, the energy to keep volunteering well into his 91st year, a God who never let George fall out of reach, even at the moment of his death. Maybe our only work today is to trust George into the care of this God. Despite our best thinking, this is a God we don't always understand, a God who cannot be captured or held by the limits of our understanding, a God whose ways are not our ways, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose time is not our time, a God whose promise is not to protect us from all illness and loss, but to be fully and completely present with us all the time. This is the God who today grieves with you, who says to you with deep assurance, "Wait, you will see, all shall be well." This God whom we trust is also the one who said, "I have come so that you will have life." It's the God who said nothing, nothing, not even death, can separate you from my love. Who said, "Even though you die, you shall live." To trust this God in the face of our own loss, to trust God about what we do not understand and cannot explain, requires of us, perhaps most of all, humility. The kind of humility that remembers that God is God and we are not. The kind of humility that is satisfied with knowing that in God's time, if not in ours, there is a time for every matter in heaven and on earth. In some moments of our lives, like this one, perhaps what is required of us is simply to cast ourselves into the arms of the one who promised to love us, to love George, always. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and to sing again. This is number 384 in the red hymnal. We're going to sing verses 1-4. This is one where we're really going to rely on you lifetime Methodists. This is an old Methodist hymn that George loved. Thank you. Will you join me in this final blessing on George? It is printed in your bulletin. Shadows lengthen, darkness thickens, the lights are lit, and the day we have lived through comes to an end. Into the darkness and warmth of the earth, we lay you down. Into the sadness and smiles of our memories, we lay you down. Into the cycle of living and dying and rising again, we lay you down. May you rest in peace, George, in fulfillment, in loving. May you run straight home into God's embrace. And now go from this place in peace, in hope, and in the sure knowledge that George is held in the strong and loving arms of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.